We here at the Jessica Jones After Show want many things. Good television, good discussion about that television. But we want nothing more than your cray-cray. Stop throwing things at me, Jesse! my jokes were that terrible. We're talking about episodes 7 through 9, season 2 of Jessica Jones, tonight on the AfterBuzz TV Jessica Jones After Show. Take your coaster back, Jesse.
Destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Did I hit Amy when I threw it back?
No, you could have.
there was danger in that.
Well, yeah. I'm glad I didn't. Yeah. I was reckless. I wanted your cray-cray so bad, apparently. Thank you guys for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV as we continue with our season 2 binge of Jessica Jones. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. I'm very excited to talk about these episodes, these very intense episodes. We're going to dig into everything. We're going to dig into the flashback, getting backstory on Jessica, on Trish, on Mama Jones, Mrs. Jones. I'm going to call her Mrs. Jones.
Mrs. Jones?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, Amy knows what's going on. We're going to get into all of that and more tonight on the Jessica Jones After Show. But first, let me introduce my fantastic panel for this evening. We have Jesse Klein.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? I'm super excited to talk Jess Jones with y'all.
And we have the wonderful Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hi, guys.
All right. Let's get right into it, because there's a lot to dig into in these episodes. Yeah, how did you guys feel after these ones?
These were dense.
Yeah.
Well, it ends on a real... like emotional cliffhanger. Like, it's not necessarily a story cliffhanger, but an emotional cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And it was intense. It was an intense viewing experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amy, how about you? Like, how are we all holding it together?
Earlier today I looked at you and I was like, so that's pretty much how I've just been feeling these
three. Like right before I watched episode 9, Amy just comes over and without saying anything, she didn't spoil it, she just went, just motioned at me because I had my headphones in.
That's great.
That's how I feel about these last three episodes. And so,
surprised gasp.
I really dug the flashback episode.
That was
We've gotten a lot of on like Marvel Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of shows like to do these flashback episodes. It's a good way to I appreciate them. I think it's a good way to break up the season,
mm-hmm.
especially like give you a completely different feel just for one episode.
Yeah, and you kind of see like the before, and the interesting thing is like usually on the flashback episodes it's like the before they had powers episode. It's before they learned who they were, or before they were a superhero. But Jess has known who she is this entire... It was more like a before she decided to be a hero kind of moment, and not like before she already was kind of... Or not even a hero, but before she decided to kind of put her life in a different direction.
Yeah. This was... Because, like, I think this had to be before... Oh, no, after. It had to be after, like, the scene with, like, the jewel costume that we got last season where Trish is like, you should be a superhero. You could wear this. Because, like, this Trish already knows about all of her powers and everything at this point.
Well, Trish has known about her powers since
they're little girls. So.
I think it's got to be after or before the jewel costume scene.
Because I think she
was already, like, Trish talks in that one. I think this is pre-Purple Man, pre-all that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely pre-Purple Man arc. But this was like, I thought this was a really interesting way to get Jess's backstory and some revelations of stuff like we just had no idea about, such as jacket origin.
Yeah, we get the jacket origin.
I love that. And I mean, as heartbreaking as it is, it makes me think that the only reason that that's still a part of who she is because of Sterling and... how everything just kind of changed for her at that point. So it's a constant reminder in a way.
I mean, the twisted part of this whole thing is that she sort of like built her life after that, like in reflection of him. Like, she named her business after what he was going to name his.
Yep.
And, like, I imagine she constantly wears that leather jacket as a, like, remembering what he did. But then for, like, now, like, by the time we get to episode 8, it's revealed to her that, like, he was kind of a shithead.
He was kind of a shithead.
Like, he wasn't, like...
And his mom brained him.
Like, her mom killed her boyfriend. Yeah. But, like, doing it, like... So that's a double whammy of information right there. Like, one... the boyfriend that I'm sure you've glorified over the years in your memory.
Yeah.
Turns out that he was about to pimp you out for your powers to a bunch of gangsters.
Yeah.
And then, like, not only, like, offer you out, but then, like,
I mean,
secretly take a cut.
He does say to the mom that I was just saying that to get them off my back. So we don't know. I mean, we don't have a definitive answer whether or not he was a little jerk or not.
I don't know. I think if he had just agreed to it, I would have bought that line. But he took the extra step to negotiate a cut for himself.
I think that makes him smart because that means I think the gangsters wouldn't believe him if he just straight up agreed.
If he had shown that level of intelligence to that point, I'd be more willing to believe that.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that Sterling is that smart.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. Yeah,
yeah. This guy that's fair. It's a fair point. But like, I just don't think of what we saw of Sterling.
Yeah.
Not the smartest guy. Not a complete idiot.
Yeah.
But not exactly a high level thinker like that.
Yeah.
Especially under pressure.
Yeah, absolutely.
He got fired just because he wouldn't be like, okay, boss, I understand.
I'll pour less alcohol.
Oh, man, that's that whole sequence. We'll get into Trish and her cray-cray. I'm just going to say cray-cray a lot in this episode. You have been warned.
The song's already in my head.
Do you think that the name of the inhaler is cray-cray and that she wants her cray-cray?
She just knew it years and years before she would ever get close to all of that.
Well, I'm suggesting some sort of time travel scenario. Oh.
Where Trish... So, okay, so what you're proposing is Trish Walker you're
acknowledging this.
of 2018 is time traveling back to the Trish Walker of her past to ghostwrite her own pop song about how much she wants a performance-enhancing combat drug.
That is what I am seriously proposing.
All right.
Okay.
Note it down, folks at home.
Predictions. I really liked this flashback episode because we got to see all moms. We got to see that the meat monster was her mom. And I think the actress playing Mrs. Jones is really killing it on this show because she can play very motherly and very protective and very informal with Jess. And at the same time, when this actress hits that switch and she becomes crazy, dangerous lady, like she gets there real quick in a real organic way, in a real believable way. I think she's doing a great job in these episodes.
I mean, all the preseason like theories were that she was playing Typhoid Mary, like a very specific character out of the comics.
I mean, that's kind of a similar
arc.
Well, I mean, just Typhoid Mary had personality disorder, so
would this be considered personality disorder?
I don't know if it's personal. I mean, she's just got rage issues because her brain was edited, and so she's having issues like dealing with stress.
Yeah, I guess it's an inspiration, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Actually, do we know Jess's mom's first name is
Alyssa.
Yeah, we do know.
Yeah,
I just forgot because I just wrote her down in my notes as mom.
And we got an explanation for why Jess didn't recognize her, where it was like most of her bones and skin was broken and burned off.
Yeah.
So they just had to reconstruct her. So she just didn't look like what she used to look
like. Yeah, and the only reason that like she doesn't look like a burned flesh monster from the Buffy season 3 is that she has next level like regenerative whatever. She heals well.
Yeah. She do good at healing.
But yeah, like, so I kind of like maybe they are going to push this towards a Typhoid Mary thing, more towards the back season. But I actually really love that we're not doing a comic book character with this.
Yeah.
Because it's like every other Netflix series has utilized at least one comic book villain to like put the characters up against.
Yeah.
And that's great. I love when they actually bring the stories that we've read to life. Like,
absolutely,
that's a very specific kind of joy that it brings me. But this is giving me a completely unique story that I would have never read in the books. I love even more.
I mean, we are in untreaded territory with Jess, where she does not have the comic book background that a lot of superheroes, and like especially a superhero like Daredevil has. So like, if you want to like read a Daredevil comic book, you have to choose from literally hundreds of arcs and hundreds of publications and writers and stuff like that. Well, not publications, but writers. And like, that's the exciting thing about Jessica Jones is, like, really she had Alias on Marvel Max, and then that's it. Like, she was Luke Cage's wife, and then...
She had a little bit of time where they were doing that thing where she wrote for the Daily Bugle.
Yeah, she had that little bit of time, and then she was just, like, the mom of Luke Cage's baby. And was, like, in the Avengers for a little bit, and that's it.
Yeah, and they brought her... She got her own series post-season one.
Yeah.
They brought her series back.
Yeah.
With Bendis and the whole creative team returning.
That was great.
And I love this run. I haven't caught up. I'm, like, maybe 4 issues behind. It's great. It feels like a true continuation. But the reason that they can't really utilize her old comics so much for storyline is most of it is very tied into other parts of the Marvel universe. That was sort of
Avengers.
What Bendis always wanted to do with Alias.
Like, yeah.
He wanted to use this character to tour the rest. Like, he was writing a love letter to Marvel with this character. Like, one of her first cases in Alias, which I highly recommend you read if
you
haven't.
Oh, you should read Alias.
Is her tracking down a lead, like, mild spoilers for the book, but, like, it roots towards, and she, like, winds up accidentally investigating Captain America.
Yeah.
Like, she accidentally investigates Steve Rogers, not knowing that it was him, but that's the kind of stuff that she's dealing with, and how she approaches that situation is fascinating and is enjoyable. And then she interacts with Captain Marvel and all this other stuff. But you can't do that with Netflix.
So I like that it's this new storytelling. And, like, honestly, Typhoid Mary should get saved for Daredevil or, like, if you did a Taskmaster show or something like that. Like, that's...
Stop teasing me with the Taskmaster show. I want to see
We all want to see Taskmaster. I'm saying that Typhoid Mary would be kind of saved for, like, one of their stories or Deadpool.
Oh, Taskmaster versus Deadpool. Sorry, way off topic.
So I like that the mom's a great character. Like, she doesn't need to be a comic book character.
Exactly, she doesn't. And it's sort of beautiful it's beautiful storytelling. And you can spend all day guessing comic books, but this is just good storytelling.
Yeah.
What I also love about this one episode is that we also get to see her mom go through everything when we all thought that her mom was dead. We were with Jessica. And so it's especially powerful to see that, everything that Jessica's known since that part of her life happened, like, has been a lie.
Yeah.
So it's all of us going through that and being like, wait, what? And that was amazing to go back in time and see all of that with her mom.
Yeah.
And she struggled with
to have to build that back together.
Yeah.
I like the, and we, this is more in episode 7 or episode 7 and 9 or 8, but but, or 8 and 9, sorry. But I like that Jessica sees the parallel of Kilgrave and Carl. That Carl has completely manipulated his mom, put her in a situation where she has no control.
Her mom.
Clarify. Yes.
Not his own mom.
I'm getting those confused today for some reason. has put put her in a situation where she has no access to anyone, anything like that. And so Jessica sees Carl as a Kilgrave-type character. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that the mom is still completely attached to him is really endemic of a lot of like abusive relationships, mm-hmm. where she doesn't see that this guy who, yes, maybe has done a lot of nice things for you and your family, also is really creepy and taking advantage of you at the mm-hmm. same time.
Yeah. Like, I'm curious what your guys' sense, and chat, also, please weigh in on this, because I think this is a very interesting topic, but
yeah.
What do you think of Dr. Carl? Like, part of me thinks his intentions, I want to, like, my instinct or my want to see the best in people
yeah.
says that he's doing this, he means well by it. But I don't know that, so my take on it, I think he means well, but he maybe doesn't even realize that he's truly manipulating her for his own benefit.
Which I think is true of a lot of abusive relationships, mm-hmm. where the abuser doesn't even realize that they are manipulating someone and putting them in a corner, or, you know, pushing them a certain direction or isolating them. And they don't even realize, like, they mean well, but they're still abusing someone's trust or violating their, you know, ability to be a human.
Yeah.
Like,
well, the other thing, too, is I don't know if I just remembered it wrong, but does he not wear the Doors shirt? Like, he's wearing the Doors shirt in the uh-huh. flashback, and then also in the present.
He's wearing a band t-shirt in both yeah. of them, but okay. I don't think it's the same shirt.
Okay. And that ties into what I'm going to say next, is that I think he likes to control everything, and he likes to, I mean, obviously, not only with Jessica's mom, but with a lot of other things, and he likes being in his own little bubble, so I don't trust anything that he does. I don't trust him.
Just because of a Doors t-shirt.
Just because of a Doors t-shirt.
You've been warned.
Yeah. I was really wondering where we're going. Jim Morrison? Something like
that? No. No, I think, there's something about him, too. I just don't trust him.
Well, yeah, and getting into episode 8, like, we see Jess and her mom kind of go through the past. After we get the flashback mm-hmm. episode, we almost get a bottle episode. It's not because we have mm-hmm. multiple stories and there are multiple locations, but we do have a period of time where Jess and her mom are stuck in one spot mm-hmm. and have to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And I really like seeing that, like, Jess, like you assume with Sterling, Jess has kind of misremembered what her family unit was like.
Yes.
And is learning, like, everything wasn't roses and ice cream when she was a little kid. That's,
yeah.
that's a term. Look it up. If it's not, it is now. Everything wasn't roses and ice cream when she was a little kid. And, like, and that she's been blaming herself for the car crash, and her mom blames the dad, like, all that stuff.
Or blame, and the mom, like, she, Alyssa also blames herself. Like, she's like, I should have been driving. I was the better driver, and I wasn't as forceful about that as I should have been. I was complacent, and I let him drive. I let him push me around to the point where, like, he was driving, even though I like to drive, prefer to drive, am a better driver.
Yeah.
But he needed it, so I let it be, and that's what, and, like, he took his eyes off the road, and now he's dead, and their son is dead.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the part where she's with Jessica's mom is forcing her to basically flush the whatever, whoever's ashes, who's ever.
It was her brother.
A labradoodle.
I know. That was awful.
Well, I think it probably is the ashes of her dad and her brother.
I don't know.
But we don't.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know that if they also won't, both were experiences or experiments that didn't work.
Oh, that's depressing.
They would still probably have burned the body, though.
Yeah, but
either way,
you'd keep those for medical research.
So she's having to deal with that, and I really love the interaction between her and her mom, because you never see Jessica relying that heavily on someone.
Oh, yeah.
And she's, unfortunately, that moment where she is having to take care of her wound, that gunshot wound.
Oh, yeah.
She's literally like, no, I have it. I've got it. And her mom's like, no, you don't. It's fine. But you're going to waste Alcohol. No, what up?
Mom, I got it. Jeez. I can clean my own gunshot wound.
She does a lot of good momming in this, where she like goes in the bathroom and she's like, oh, this is disgusting.
I love the, like, she just, and she'll just slip into it, like, we got to kill this guy. He's terrible. You really should clean your walls.
What a beautiful painting. Who did this painting?
Oh, man. The chat has weighed in on the Dr. Carl debate, by the way.
Do they trust him?
You know, it's an interesting... There's different opinions. Good. Teresa says Dr. Carl did save people, but he shirked his responsibilities.
Absolutely, yeah.
Serenity Q 26. I don't view Carl as evil at all. He is, in his mind and heart, out to help people, not hurt them.
I don't know.
He has a god complex. Those are dangerous.
Yeah, I don't
know. That's true.
I don't know if he's evil. I think he is unwieldy and reckless.
Black Jones, Dr. Carl gives me Radcliffe vibes from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Another scientist. But someone that, like, there's no ill intentions.
Mm-hmm. That we've seen so far.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But it's that willingness to let somebody's entire life be about you. Like, he's not really, at least in Alyssa's case, he's more interested in what she can do for him. He may love her, but he's right now not interested, I don't think, in what is best for her. He is interested in what is best for him,
And we've seen that codependency be dangerous, that now she is, Miss Jones is out killing people that she thinks are a threat to him, because she is so dependent on him, and so he has become such the focus of her life that she's going out and murdering people that she thinks are a threat to him, and doing it willy-nilly and recklessly.
It's almost like it's harder for her to now live without him, because she got used to living under his care, that she doesn't know how to control her feelings. Which is kind of throwing back to season 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like Inhumans, and trying to control those feelings, where if you don't teach them at the right time, it's just like they don't know. Yeah. Maybe she could have.
It's Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes.
And that's what she's dealing with. That's honestly what she is dealing with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On that, I liked the Night Terror scene, where we see that the Night Terrors that the mom has is that she loses Jess every night she goes to sleep. I thought that was real heart-wrenching and sad.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff with Price Chang, like, what a useless character.
That was so annoying.
I wouldn't say a useless character, but what a useless person.
What a useless person.
Just felt bad in a way for him.
I feel so bad for him.
I don't feel that bad.
He tried to kill him, but it's like he's like a cartoon character. Like, he tries so hard to succeed, and he is like the successful private investigator with his own office and teams of staff. And there's just this one person in his life that is destroying everything he knows.
He's Wile E. Coyote-ing
now. Yeah, you gotta let go of that Roadrunner. You can catch so many other animals.
He's catching other animals as bait and for this one that he's like, I gotta get it. It's like, dude, you caught like 4 other birds today.
Don't worry. Eat those birds. I mean, in these episodes, he pees himself. Like,
I didn't think he actually peed himself.
No, he did. He was unconscious.
Oh, I guess he was unconscious for that many hours. Yeah, eventually he'd...
Yeah, he's like, why are my pants wet?
Well, she sprayed him with a shower hose. I thought that's what she was referencing. But he also probably did pee himself.
I think in chat, you can confirm Price Chang peed himself.
Mama Jones said, oh, so that's what the smell of pee. Yeah.
Let's move on. Like, we could go on in this forever, but I want to make sure I want to make sure we get to the other topics. Let's talk about Trish.
Yeah.
Because Trish, like, starting in the flashback, like, that, like... We are being shown Trish's downward spiral first when the first time it happened.
Yeah.
And then now that she's relapsing with the combat enhancer.
Yeah. She was way
off. We can all laugh about the perfect amalgamation of what pop songs from the like late aughts, I guess it would have been that time. Yeah. It was just one generic poppy sounding phrase said over and over again with faceless background dancers moving around a still kind of moving pop star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. It was good to see how their relationship has really grown.
Yeah.
It was really good to see, because at this point, I don't think they're best friends. I think they're sisters who have become dependent on each other because their mom was so bad, and they have learned to work with each other, but they don't seem like best friends at this moment. That Trish is still kind of like, she's trying to become Lady Gaga, and she's just not.
And she's more Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, rest in peace. She's not dead.
I was like, whoa, what?
What? No.
No, but Trish went through, like, so she, I guess, like, this is post, like, getting, like, moving on from her mom.
Yes.
Like, getting out of that abusive relationship, but then... Okay, instead of going to school, I got offered a record contract, so I'm gonna do that because it's a huge opportunity. But then it starts to spiral. She starts experimenting with they didn't really say, but like I'm assuming cocaine and like
cocaine.
Who knows what else. But and it turns into like pretty dirty stuff that we don't even need to repeat.
Yeah.
And then like God only knows what would have happened if Jess wasn't there to like bail her out from those situations.
I wonder what exactly was the moment where it just kind of clicked for Trish, because I mean, it wasn't like, wasn't it when she was in the restroom with the what, like manager,
the douchey manager.
Yeah. But it's like she probably had found herself in that position before. So was it Jessica's situation that she had just lost Sterling and Trish needed to be there for her?
And I think it was just that Jess caught her. Like, there's something to be said. Like, she, like, seeing Jess's reaction forces her to, like, because you can get yourself down on a bad path where you're spiraling downward. But if people around you are encouraging that behavior, you're not going to look inward the same way as like when you, I think when Trish saw Jess's face looking at her with that mix of extreme judgment and pity and
that's her rock
like,
bottom.
Yeah. That's seeing her rock bottom, not just like it's around her, but it's reflected back at her. And I think that is the thing that makes her most realize how bad it is.
Reflected back by someone who loves her.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's a mix of that and the fact that like what we're seeing with these episodes is like this weird leveling where like if Trish is high, then Jess has to be low. And if Jess is high, then Trish has to be low. And it's like we're seeing a shift where like Jess is going down a dark path in these flashbacks. And Trish is bringing herself out of that dark path. And so it's kind of like this weird leveling that these two characters have to do, where it seems like whenever one of them is doing well, the other one is not doing well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'd beg to differ that the present tense, they're both doing, I mean, that one of them is doing better, because Jessica, especially at the end of episode 9, she said, well, this is how I lose my mom again. So she's already, you know, feeling lost again. And Trish is just out of the inhaler.
Out of her brain.
out of a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
So,
let's move forward to current day Trish, where she is very much heavily getting deeper into this combat narcotic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like super addicted to it and pissed off that Jessica is dropping the entire investigation.
Yeah. I mean, she's got no explanation. I understand that like I think it's reasonable that Trish is pissed at Jessica. Trish put a lot of work into this too.
Mm-hmm.
And Jess is just like brushing her off. Trish doesn't know why.
Yeah.
I wanted Jess to tell her.
To say it's my mom.
When she went down that hall, like, I get why she didn't.
Yeah.
Because Trish is like, one, she knows Trish is using again. Trish has a platform, has shown that she's willing to just throw people under the bus on said platform.
Yeah.
And Jess is trying to very secretly hide her mother at this point.
Also, Trish has mom issues. So, yeah. Like, that also might be a triggering moment for Trish as well.
I guess it would be a good thing for Trish is she's obviously quit Trish mm-hmm. Talk, and now she got an offer from ZCN.
Yeah.
So that's great, but, I mean, not even getting ready for the interview itself. Like, she wanted to take or use the inhaler right away. It wasn't like, I'll save it for tomorrow. No, she just needs it on a constant basis. And now she's out of it. So the next thing we're going to see is her going through it all.
And
the worst possible time.
She and Malcolm had some interesting moments. I like that Malcolm was like, all right, I'm just going to go back to being a detective then and work on the Hogarth case. And we see him go and like find out that this guy, Benowitz, is in the closet and like all of that kind of stuff. And we see it go a different way. Instead of using it to blackmail him, he just uses it to manipulate him mm-hmm. and say that he's working for Chang. Chow. Apologies. And then we get that alley fight scene, and I pointed this out to Zach. We see some Hellcat claws come out because she rakes a guy over the face, and it, 5 bloody trails on his face.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't even like draw that. My brain didn't connect the dots on that one.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I really liked what Malcolm did in these episodes.
Yeah.
I thought it was great to see him like really behaving like a private eye. Like he went in, I don't know if that was his plan or if he really did just be like, I don't want to do this to a person.
Yeah.
And then he just was like, then he saw an opening.
And then took it. Yeah.
But like he played it perfect and got exactly what he needed. He's basically turning these two against each other. I actually, now that I say it a lot, I think I want to believe that he did it all intentionally. I think Malcolm's that smart.
Yeah.
That he went in like, I could just straight up blackmail this guy. Or
I could let him blackmail the other person for me.
Yeah. And just get them, like, the two of them, like, sniping over each other. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be easy for Hogarth to come in and just be like, boop.
Yep.
Get rid of both of them.
Well, in the last we saw of Malcolm, he took a puff, I guess you could say.
After the fight, like after his big successful, like, I got it, I'm a private eye now moment, Trish convinces him that it's going to heal him to use this enhancer, which it will help that.
But his reaction was like, no, really scared
I think he
me.
Felt... Like it probably way. Felt like he was slipping back towards
addiction,
the heroin that he was addicted to. And he probably was like, I need to not be near anything like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he still probably knows where he could go get heroin if he wanted to.
Yeah.
If you're a heroin addict, you know how to get heroin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, did you think he go back to his parents? What Jessica says that
Jessica says because Trish is like one of her last things that she says to Malcolm is like, don't tell Jess, and she's worried that he's going to tell Jess that she's using this inhaler, and when Trish talks to Jessica, Jessica says that Malcolm called and he said he's taking a personal weekend, he's with his parents. I don't know if he's with the parents. He might be just trying to figure out what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he might come back and have a American flag tattoo on his face.
We never got to see Simpson with an American flag tattoo on his face.
No, so. He just had the lighter.
I'm excited to see what Malcolm does. Like, it could also be that he lied and he's like down in an alley somewhere back on the addiction train. I don't want to believe that. I think Malcolm's better than that, but it's very possible that Trish triggered him to slide back. It could, like, for someone who's actually addicted, it can be that easy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's that's the thing I've kind of liked about Malcolm. He's been so put together. Usually in these storylines where, like, everyone's falling apart, it's nice to have someone who is stable and put together. And that's kind of what Malcolm's job has been for all of these episodes. So I would be very sad to see him go back to heroin and riding that horse.
He was the only character, right? Like, to have his crap together, pretty much? Like, where nothing was falling apart?
At the very least, comparatively to the rest of them, yeah. His life is, like, pretty on track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's not, like, Jess is still an alcoholic, like, barely getting by.
He's running away with from her deep, past.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Trish is, like, got everything
going
on with Trish.
Hogarth is dying?
Yeah. Let's get it. Let's talk about Hogarth real quick. Not a ton of time left, but, like, I want to make sure we deal with that. Because she's going to...
Sean.
Is it Sean? I keep wanting, in my head, I've just started calling him Triage because that's basically his power.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think Triage in the book, Triage in the X-Men character we talked about it in the last episode. I don't think he actually loses life. So, but that's the interesting thing about this guy, this healer, is that he, like, we had talked about this as a theory on Wednesday, that he absorbs the death that these people are going through, and he loses some of his life. It's an exchange, and so he doesn't want to do it. He's totally willing to, like, he's like, I don't want, you're asking me to give up years of my life for you.
Yeah.
And it's a twisted little scenario for him to have to live in.
Yeah.
Well, and what we see, the last thing we see is Hogarth possibly being healed by him. Is that what you guys got out of it?
I didn't understand how that ended. It was very ambiguous.
It was. Fine. So I took that as, like, I think she felt herself being healed.
Okay.
And she is crying from relief.
Yeah.
I know that there have been times in my life where, like, something big changes, like, some big stressor, like, goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, oh, it's so fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You break down because it's so, you're just like, the loss of that weight.
Mm-hmm.
Just feels so good. The other thing that I thought about, tell me what you guys think about this this track.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be that she's being healed of psychological wounds as well? And that's starting to release and come out?
That's possible. Like, the pain of, like, her wife dying, basically at her hands or because of her actions, like that kind of stuff. That's possible. And that's why she's crying. I mean, she is, these episodes, she does kind of, I mean, she hooks up with the nurse, what is her name?
Inez.
Inez, which I thought was a very sweet scene, and it seems like they get along well.
Yeah.
So I'm like, more power to that. I don't know. I'm still stuck in my theory. I don't think she's sick, or if she is sick, it's because she got manipulated, like someone edited her genetics.
Well, we found out at least where it started in these episodes, where she talks about, like, it started as a hand cramp that she went to see a doctor about, and then they had to start doing more tests and more tests.
Yes, but she told that to Inez before. Like, we saw in a previous episode that she told Inez that sometimes she can feel it in her hand.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's a swing. And I love swings.
I'm going for the swing, man.
We have four more episodes left.
We've got time-traveling Trish going back and ghostwriting her own pop song. And we've got the Hogarth was not sick. Or she is sick, but only because someone's making her sick. And she's being manipulated to get out of her law firm. I also like power play Hogarth when she's in prison, where she's like, oh, I'm the best lawyer that you can't afford. She's like, my clients don't sit in jail for 9 months waiting to go to trial. My clients leave and I win. Like, power play Hogarth, because we haven't seen a lot of her this season because she's been so vulnerable. And it was great to see her come back and just be like, I'm the best lawyer in the world. That is my superpower.
Yeah.
I am lawyer.
I am lawyer. Hear me roar.
I could beat She-Hulk.
Oh, I want to see that.
Just law drama, Hogarth versus She-Hulk.
Don't even get me started on the She-Hulk series, because I have so many ideas.
Absolutely.
So many ideas. Anyway. any other thoughts on these episodes, guys?
Well, we get it ending with Jess realizing that her mom is a killer.
Yeah.
And that is what she is now.
For better or worse. Like, she's still her mom. Like, we see the whole thing with Oscar and that plot line, like, yeah. Sort of forcing Jess to realize, like, when anything changes, they're always going to be mother and daughter, or mother and son. But that doesn't mean that her mom is the same person that
there,
she was.
There are parts of her that's her mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But not all of, like, we know that she's been gone in and edited a bunch and has had a lot of her. It's, I forget the name. It's that ship paradox where if you build a boat and then as the boat gets older, you replace the wood piece by piece. If you replace all that wood, is it still the same boat? I'm misquoting that paradox. Chat, you can get angry at me. But it's that same thing where it's like, how much of the mom has been deconstructed and lost and replaced? Yeah.
But see, we did get that little tidbit of them working together to stop the bus.
Yeah.
So,
but it's the same beat that we had in season one with Kilgrave. That one time that he helps people, just because he did one good act doesn't change the fact that he was still a crazed murderer.
And I don't think the mom is a crazed murderer. I think it's more that she...
No, she's not Kilgrave. They are not the same. Yeah. But that parallel is there. Like, it's about the same time in the season, too. That, like, the quote-unquote villain does one heroic act, but it doesn't. That doesn't redeem what everything else that they've done.
Quick little thing. The Stan Lee appearance was on the bus.
Yeah. On the bus. Yeah. So you got to get at least one. And in the Netflix series, they just get little posters.
Yeah.
My only question is, was the same Stan Lee
as
the cop one?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't a cop photo this time.
That's true. But it's always the same Stan Lee.
Yeah. Well, no. He's the watcher.
Yeah.
He's the watcher Stan Lee.
Owatu.
Yeah. Owatu Lee.
Yeah.
Stan's cousin. All right, guys. That's going to do it for the Jessica Jones After Show covering season 2, episodes 7 through 9. We will be back later this week with episodes 10 through 12, and then next Sunday at the same time, 10 p.m., to talk about the finale. We're going to talk about the finale, just the finale for that episode, so we can really dig into it and the entire series that episode. Until then, I have been your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Please also be sure to check out the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show that Jesse and I are a part of, which is Sundays at 5 p.m., lots of fun on that show. It's really getting back into spy silliness.
Yeah.
So check that out, 5 p.m. on Sundays. Amy.
And you guys can find me on all social media at AmyCassandraMTZ. Also on Monday nights at 7, Marvel TV Weekly.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein1 and the number one. Come talk to me about nerdy things. I'll talk to you back.
Yes, and if you guys had any favorite moments that we didn't get to talk about or any pieces of the episodes that you love that we didn't or you disagree or agree, I hope you agreed with us. Mm-hmm. But I also like it when you disagree in a thoughtful, constructive manner. Please leave that below on the YouTube comments or on iTunes. Leave us a review. Hit us with 5 stars. Hit us with a thumbs up. All the places to subscribe everywhere, especially to AfterBuzz TV's Sci-Fi, Fantasy, and Superheroes channel on YouTube. This has been the Jessica Jones After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After Shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.